Hello everyone, my name is Andy Spiteri, and I'm the host of the ZeldaCast, and the Omega Metroid podcast, and Virtual Theater. As you can tell, I really love podcasting. After almost 6 years of the ZeldaCast, 5 years of Virtual Theater, and 4 years of the Omega Metroid podcast, I swore that I would never make another podcast, but here I am today, excited to announce not one, not two, but three extra bonus shows that you can get each month on my newly reimagined Patreon channel, available at patreon.com/SPNet. You'll have your choice of bonus shows, depending on which tiers you choose to sign up for. Each podcast has its own monthly bonus show. The ZeldaCast will have the ZeldaCast Top 10s, where we can have some fun and give out a classic ranking on different topics each month with a different guest. Omega Metroid will continue with the Great Metroid Area Ranking, where we are ranking every single area in the Metroid series. And Virtual Theater will debut the Spiteri's Review, a show where my wife and I will give some thoughts on movies or shows, old and new. There's also an Ultimate tier that will get you access to all of these bonus shows if you really want to take your Spiteri podcasting to the next level. If that isn't enough, all shows feature a level of interactivity where patrons can weigh in and vote on which topics, shows, and areas we discuss next. Membership starts at as little as $1 a month, so I'm hoping you'll check out all the great bonus content that's going to be coming your way on patreon.com/SPNet. Whatever your bonus show of choice, I want to thank you for listening, and I hope to be able to see you over at patreon.com/SPNet. Hello everyone and welcome to the ZeldaCast here on ZeldaDungeon.net. My name is Andy Spiteri, joined by Allison Aletha. Happy long weekend. We're right in the middle of Canada Day and Independence Day, so it's a joyous long weekend all around. How you doing?
Good. So wait, is today, yesterday was Canada Day, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, alright. Well, happy Canada Day.
Thank you. It was a low-key holiday for me usually every year, but I don't know, what do you got going on up or down there rather in America? You got some hot dogs, you got some Budweiser, some fireworks.
First of all, Budweiser, I don't drink a lot of those beer stuff, but I like cider, so I'll go grab some cider.
Okay.
I'm not doing much actually. Like the crummy thing is that it's on Tuesday, and I got to work the next day, and, like, it doesn't get dark until 10, and that's when all the fireworks start going up, and
yeah, and
I got to wake up at 3:30, so it's just like, ugh, not feeling 4th of July this
you
year.
You want to hear a real sad story that you'll probably start crying because of my hardships here?
Okay,
so, So Canada Day was yesterday, which, as we're recording this live on twitch.tv/TheZeldaCast, is a Sunday, which you can check us out every Sunday recording this over on twitch.tv/ZeldaCast. But so yesterday was Canada Day, which is a Saturday, and because I work Monday to Friday, my employer is just like, oh, that's not a stat holiday. That's not a stat. So we have tomorrow off, but, like, it was one of those things where it's like, if you want to take the day off for a long weekend, you can, but you're going to be just taking it as a day off. So I was like,
yeah.
I was like, whatever, give me that day off. I don't care. But, yeah, shame on you.
Lame. No, I feel it. Lame. That's lame.
Yeah. All right. Well, we've got a lot to get into today, so we shouldn't dilly-dally, although we do have some stuff to get to before we start this episode. We're going to be talking about our side adventures today from Tears of the Kingdom. And I thought that I was ready, that I was prepared, that I was educated about these Tears of the Kingdom side adventures. And then my friend Allison Aletha was just like, what about this one? And I was like, huh? And it is. So now I feel like I'm not. So I guess what I'm trying to say is here is I once again have to tip my hat to the master who posted yesterday with 100% completion rate of Tears of the Kingdom. That is absolutely insane. I'm sure there's other freaks of nature out there that also have
Oh
100%, but
yeah.
like you're the first
Yeah.
person I've seen do it, so.
I mean, there's actually when I was looking up the stuff that I was missing, you would see people, they post like all the pictures because there's 100% of the map and then there's like true 100% where you get everything, which is what I did. But people were posting pictures a month ago, like maybe even a couple weeks after release, and I was like, you guys are insane. I can't believe it. But in like in a good way. So but I
That
finally did it and I feel good, I feel accomplished, but I also feel very burnt out.
yep so I've obviously still got some work to do, and I was feeling like that before, so I was like, I've got some work to do, I've got some more hours to log in here, but that'll have to wait, because of course the Zelda Dungeon Marathon is beginning in geez Louise,
Weeks.
like 2 weeks, so
Yep.
get ready. Of course, Allison and I are going to be reuniting in person over in Chicago at the Zelda Dungeon Marathon. So I'm sure we'll have to get in a few Four Swords Adventures levels together, as we
Yeah.
always do.
Yes.
We're going to have a couple live podcasts, which is going to be really fun. Maybe we'll wait till next week to kind of exactly say what we're going to be doing. But one thing that I could say for sure is that we will be hosting a live on-air fan Tears of the Kingdom Q&A. So we want your Q's. We're gonna give you some A's, okay? So we're gonna have a tweet going up. Hopefully Twitter is still a thing and you can see the tweet. I don't
Yeah,
know.
right.
Maybe, you know what? We'll put the tweet
Fun.
up and we'll also put it in our Discord. So if you really want to get your question answered, come and join our Discord. But we'll also put it out on Twitter, and you know, we can. We're gonna do everything. You can ask whatever you want. This will be the time to go like full Monty into spoiler territory. We'll answer anything that we get. So we have a little bit of a longer runtime too at the marathon as well. So if you got a Tears of the Kingdom question for us, make sure that you are asking us over either on Twitter or on Discord. So yeah, there's that. And the next week we'll let you know what we got going on. We got some guests coming, which is fun, and we got a fun gimmick for our podcast Q&A episode, which is, I don't know if it's gonna be fun or not, to be honest.
Can't remember if we talked about it before, but yeah, I'm excited for it. I'm gonna come prepared. So I'm
Oh boy.
prepared to like make you miserable, I think.
I think so, yeah. So there it is. One thing that does not make me miserable, by God, is we did something fun. I think yesterday, where we officially have thrown our hat into the Patreon world. So a little bit of backstory here. I'm gonna shill for a little bit, so you have to indulge me here. But a little bit of backstory. So obviously, I think most people listening to this know that I also host the Omega Metroid podcast, which you know, eventually morphed into a website of its own, omegametroid.com. We originally started a Patreon specifically only for Omega Metroid, and I wanted to reimagine that a little bit into something that was like, I don't know, like a little bit more me, let's just say. So now ZeldaCast and Omega Metroid and Virtual Theater, which is the podcast about video game movies and stories that shape them, are all on Patreon at one place, patreon.com/spnet. What the hell is SPnet? That's just a name I made up for my network of podcasts. So you can check it out. There's gonna be one bonus episode per month that you can check out. Plus, there's a ton of old stuff over there as well that you can go and listen to. But we're debuting a new series, which I'm pretty stoked about, actually. And in fact, Al and I are going to record that, our maiden episode, as soon as we're done this. And it's called the ZeldaCast Top Tens. And it's going to be just like a top 10 ranking of stuff. But really what that means is that it gives us an opportunity to talk about different, weird, maybe different things that we don't necessarily get to talk about here on the show. So we're doing a twofer, as we say in Canada. This debut episode. So as soon as we're done, we're going to record a double episode, and it's going to be our top 10 most emotional moments in the Zelda series. And I have a heck of a list prepared for that. And true to form, I pitched this as a joke, but we actually were going to do it. We are going, after excruciating research and excruciating just
Oh
like
no.
looking through pictures and wiki profiles, we are going to be ranking the top 10 ugliest Twilight Princess characters, which is a feat no human should have to do. But by God, we're going to do that for your entertainment. So if you want to check it out, head over to patreon.com/SPNet. You can subscribe only to the ZeldaCast tier. It's a couple bucks a month. You'll get an extra bonus show. It's not going to be available anywhere else. So go in and check it out. And if you're really a fan of all my podcasts, we've got a lot of other cool stuff going on there too. We've got the Great Metroid Area Ranking, which is kind of a ripoff, although I got him to sign off on it. But it's a ripoff of Gooey's Dungeon Dive series, where Goo is ranking every Zelda dungeon in the series. We're ranking every Metroid area in the series. And this is one that I'm actually like really, really excited about. But finally, over on the virtual theater side, the bonus show that we're going to be offering there is called the Spiteri's Review, where I will be joined by my long-suffering better half. My wife, Samantha, is going to be making her podcast debut. She's had to listen to me yak for about 6 years and talk on this show. She's finally going to get in on the action. We're going to be reviewing, I don't know, movies, shows, old and new. Anything that that we kind of feel like talking about, we're going to be doing that over on Patreon. And all these shows, by the way, I have a level of interactivity to it. So as soon as Al and I are finished recording our episode, we're going to throw up a poll and say, like, hey, like these are like a couple options. What vote on this? What would you like to see a top 10 for next month? Or what would you like to see the Spiteri's Review next month? So it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of work for sure. That's I think I'm up to like 15 or 16 podcasts a month now, which is a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, but you know, it's all worth it, and it's all in the name of this Legend of Zelda business right here. So patreon.com/SPNet, check it out. I'm excited to record the ugliest characters, particularly.
I'm excited too. I'll tell you though, I know it. What we came up with this. Well, you came up with this as a joke, but then as soon as I started looking, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna feel like a horrible human being after that episode. I'm just gonna feel so bad. But then at the same time, I was looking at them and I was like, why Nintendo? Why make them look so bad?
It's truly terrible. So yeah, that's going to be fun. Check it out over on patreon.com/SPNet. There's going to be a new top 10 every month, and we're going to have a rotating cast of people coming in with their own top 10s. So yeah, we're going to have some fun. We're going to get to talk about some different things, and then it's going to be a good time. All right. So we've shilled. We've talked about the marathon. We've talked about Patreon. We've talked about Allison getting 100% in Tears of the Kingdom. Are we ready to finally talk about these side adventures in Tears of the Kingdom?
We're going to talk about side adventures. It's interesting how they separated side adventures from side quests.
Yeah, let's talk about that, actually. Like, it is weird because I feel like there's some side adventures. So first of all, like when I hear side adventure, I'm just like, okay, this must be like a really like in-depth, thought out, multiple steps, maybe expanding, you know, something that you can't complete like right away. That's kind of what I think of when I think of side adventure. And there are some that are like this, but I feel like there's also some that are like very quickly, like you could just do them, they're done. And it's like, oh, okay. Which is funny because like in my mind, like side quests, those just seem like kind of inherently a little bit like, not worse, but like less important maybe. Mm-hmm. But there's some of those where it's like they're very drawn out and they're very like in depth, and it's funny that Nintendo just threw this weird distinction between the two of them in there for almost seemingly no reason, because I can't discern what makes like a side adventure versus a side quest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, feel but the same. When I was playing the game and I started to I started to actually see the difference, where I was like, oh, this is in my side adventure category, while this is in my side quest category. They do have a different quest like objective for each and every individual thing, even though it could be fast, but they're connected to a larger portion, like the larger adventure, I would say. So for example, when we talk about Penn and the Lucky Clover Gazette, those are a bunch of smaller quote-unquote side adventures, but it's part of a larger, you know, story, a larger adventure. So I guess that's how they were differentiated. Well, but I do agree, there's some side quests where I was like, why isn't this a side adventure?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It is weird, and I think you're right. Like, you usually there's like kind of an overarching thing kind of going on, but like there's some of them where there's not. Like there's some of them where it's just kind of like you have a quest and then it's you're done. So I don't know. And you know what? Really quickly, I guess I wonder if you want to talk about shrine quests really quickly, just very very quickly, very briefly, because you know my intention was to do an episode eventually on these shrine quests, and in doing that. I like in finishing all the shrine quests. I don't know that like we can literally do that because I feel like 95% of them are the exact same thing. Now,
yes.
Like I think that I've kind of said before. Like to me, Tears of the Kingdom feels like the Super Smash Bros. Melee to Breath of the Wild's Super Smash Bros. N64. But one area I think that Breath of the Wild trumps Tears of the Kingdom is its shrine quests because like
yeah.
And not to say that they're not fun in Tears of the Kingdom, because, like, they are, but they're, like, all of them are the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I would say there's maybe, like, four or five where it is similar to Breath of the Wild Shrine Quest, where there's especially one that I have coming up, well, maybe two, coming up to my mind, but, like, the keys where you have to make the ice blocks and shrink them down and fit them.
Yes, that one was cool.
That was cool. That felt like Breath of the Wild Shrine Quest. But for the majority, I want to say, like, 90% of them were, go grab this crystal.
Yeah.
And it becomes the shrine.
Yeah, so I was like a little bit disappointed with with that because that
especially since a lot of them were in the sky, like the sky exploring was the majority find this crystal, get a shrine.
Yeah, and like it's not like they like it's weird because it's like it's not like it wasn't fun. Like it was like you know that you in like it's not like they're also not the same. Like because you can or it's not like they all are all the same, I think is what I'm trying to say, where, like, you, there's so many different ways that you can get these crystals from point A to point B, like, it there is a lot of, I don't know, diversity in the way that you can get your point across, but, like, it's just, like, it's the same kind of idea on every one of them, which is, I don't know, just a little bit kind of, it's too bad, I think.
It's a little, it's not, I wouldn't say, like, it's egregiously lazy, but it just felt a little lazy.
A little bit. Well, okay, well, let's talk about these side adventures here. So we kind of approach this a little bit differently. I was just going to talk about some of the ones that that I liked, but I think I like your format a little bit better. So you kind of put them into, like, yeah, like, those are the three categories exactly. that you got going on. So let's start from the bottom and work our way up. We don't have to spend a lot of time talking about some of them. We can be more in depth on some than others.
Oh yeah, the least fave ones are probably really quick to talk about and why I would say they're the meh of the side adventures. And one of them is Hestu's Concerns. I actually missed this one because I found him in Lookout Landing first. Did you find Hestu in Lookout Landing first, or did you find him by Lindor's?
No,
mountain.
I did find Hestu just kicking it in the overworld. Yeah.
Okay.
So I found him, and then I think I found him actually pretty early, and I was like, this is where I was like, surely we cannot be doing the same Korok thing again.
That's exactly like, what like, I surely. Thought too.
and lo and behold, that's exactly what we did. And I give this game a lot of passes, but I don't know what it is about these Koroks that just burns me, but it does. Something about it just, like, makes me just be like, like, this is so, like, you know, I'm fine with the shrine quest, because at least, like I'm saying, you could come up with different ways to get from point A to point B, and you could make creative doohickeys to get you wherever.
I mean, technically, you can do that with the friend Koroks. You could do
you know
that
what?
Too.
Yes, and those ones actually I think are fine. I like those ones, and it's well, those are pretty much the same idea as the crystal.
Yes.
And I think like I think I said it. I can't remember if I said it on the show or if I said it in Discord or maybe just when we were chatting, whatever. But I was like, if there would have been like 100 of those in the game, and like they gave you like 10 Koroks instead to get your upgraded weapons and whatever. I would have been fine with that because, like, it would have been different, but the same, like, familiar but different, and that would have been fine. But like, when I saw like the same stupid wagon, like the wind wagon things, when I saw the same Korok running around, when I saw the same like thing you got to put an apple into, I was like, oh come on, surely we can't be doing this again.
Yeah, but and that's why I put Hestu to down at the bottom are on my least favorite because it was a confirmation. Like, we kind of already knew on the Sky Islands that we would be finding Quarks again, but it was a confirmation that it was the exact same format. And also, essentially, you could guess the same reward at the end. So I did not like this side adventure. I actually missed it because I found him in Lookout Landing first, but like I just didn't like the confirmation that Hestu was there to upgrade your inventory and then give you the results at the end. I just didn't like that. So I didn't like that side adventure.
When you told me the reward is the same reward as Breath of the Wild, that made me sick. Like
Yeah,
just
and like,
ugh.
here's the thing. When you in Breath of the Wild, you don't get a lot of trophies for the completion of all the stuff. There are a few trophies, but like in Tears of the Kingdom, there's a lot more trophies that you get. You get like the fabrics, you get there's a couple things that I don't want to spoil, but you get a few more trophies that are kind of cool and they're like commemorative. But when you get Hestu's gift, it's just like, oh my God, are you serious? All that, it's so much work. It's just not worth it. Like, give me your maracas. Let's start there.
Don't give me your turd. Give me something useful. It just makes me sick. He is like last. I just like, yeah, I mean, it's not even fair. We're not even talking about side adventures anymore, but it's just like, just, ugh. Seeing
It's the side
Hestu.
adventure that started it all.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely last. You put another one that I also was not fond of as well, which was the Hateno Village Research Lab, which I think it basically involves like doing a bunch of menial quests to get like your extra travel medallions, your extra your scan that can you can st scan stuff from the Hyrule Compendium, something else what I can't remember now. Very tedious kind of work. You also fill out the Hyrule Compendium as well. This one particularly burned me actually because when I got to the research lab initially and I was using the I think and I think this is almost like a main quest but Robbie was like, okay, turn on your shrine sensor and follow the sounds, and I don't know what was happening to me. I could not get out of that house to go and explore and find the
Oh,
shrine.
he keeps telling you, where are you going? Yeah, because you didn't go in the right hitbox for where he wanted you to go.
Oh my, I swear to you, I think I posted in Discord. I was in that house for like 10 solid minutes, like trying to get out of there, which doesn't seem like that long, but like when you're just trying to leave a house and you're in like this small space is absolutely forever. So I was just like, I hate this. I never want to come back. I don't like you, Robbie.
I miss young Robbie from Age of Calamity. I found this frustrating, and I'll keep this brief. I found this frustrating because you have to do quite a bit of like other quests to get Robbie to go over there. So you're already
Yeah,
exploring
you
quite a
do.
bit, and then when you finally can get the functions of the Puripad that you want to use on your adventure, it's after you've already done quite a bit of exploring. So I find that frustrating. I wish you could do it really quickly. And then on top of that, you're upgrading the functionality of the Puripad, which you already did in Breath of the Wild. I really struggle with the Puripad because filling out the map, filling out the compendium, it's stuff you already did in Breath of the Wild, and I know they're two separate games, but like it's like why couldn't you transfer the data from the Sheikah Slate to the they're acting like, "Oh, you're discovering all this stuff for the first time." No, I've already done it. I've already done. I know they're two separate. I get that. And I know you're supposed to play them separately, like they're standalones, like maybe Breath of the Wild never happened. But when I've already done it, I find it very frustrating doing the same thing over again, which was filling the map and doing the compendium.
100%. And that's a conversation we're not done having, by the way, because I think like when all the dust settles, like we and we'll do like our full final thoughts on Tears of the Kingdom, its pros, its cons. That's the conversation we'll be revisiting. Okay, well, let's go on. You ranked this next quest kind of like meh, and I actually like really
They're
liked
okay.
it.
I would say they're okay. Like I enjoyed them, but they weren't as substantial as my favorite ones. That's this category.
I think there's really only one thing in here that I would have said that I really enjoyed, and that was A Call from the Depths. And that's the one where you're on the Great Plateau. You got to find all of the different eyes. You got to get them down to the bargainer. Is it a bargainer statue? Is
Yeah, it's a
it?
bargainer
Okay.
statue.
Yeah. You got to get it down to the. I thought maybe it was like I don't know, a different kind of statue. You gotta get it to a statue. You gotta get him four eyes. And he's right in the construct factory? No, the
abandoned Hyrule
yes,
mine.
Thank you.
Yeah, central Hyrule mine.
And then yeah, so like and I thought that like I think if you would have got a lesser reward, this wouldn't have been higher on my list. But like I think for the amount of like work that you do, I was just kind of like, oh, this better be something good. And it was. You got like a full heart container.
It was. Mm-hmm.
So that to me was just like I was like, oh, like, this is worth it. The amount of work that I've put in is worth it. And I think it was also, like, kind of a fun quest as well. Because, like, I don't know, you do. It's not like it's difficult. Like, you got to find the eyes. But you know, you kind of move some stuff. Like, they're a little bit hidden. Mm-hmm. Bomb some rocks. Throw them. I love throwing them into, like, the chasm.
The depths.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, dive bomb after them. So, yeah. I actually kind of liked this quest a little bit more than you did, I think.
I think so. I can be swayed to having it be, you know, more than what I considered. The only thing I didn't like about it, let me just say what I did like about it. I like that the goddess statue, goddess statues appear to be connected to the bargainer statues down below. I think that's interesting, and I would love to know more about that, the lore and whatnot. I also really think it's cool that the chasms are in the same spots as the shrines from Breath of the Wild. They're all in the exact same location, so I think that's cool. I also like that there's four of them, the four eyes, so they represent shrines that you're completing in order to get a whole heart piece or a whole stamina piece. So I like all those things. I just really kind of struggled with going up and down between the depths so much because you had to do that. You had to go back to the surface, grab the eye, throw it down, go down to the depths, grab the eye, take it to the statue. And while it was kind of like, it could be considered almost dungeon-esque. It was kind of like a dungeon. But I didn't really like the back and forth so much. So, I don't know, maybe I could do it differently next time where I run to all the spots, throw the eyes down, and then do the depths all at once, I guess.
Yeah.
I could do it differently. But, like, I like the overarching idea of it. I just didn't like, it almost felt like a chore to me. So that's why it's more of like that. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but it was okay.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I see what you're saying there. And especially, actually, like, in my playthrough, I think at that point I only had, like, one shrine over in the Great Plateau, and it was like kind of way the hell to the side, so like I did them the same way. I did them like one at a time.
Yeah,
so I was like warping back, and then I made the long journey back to, you know, back to the where I needed to be. I think for me the reward definitely eases a lot of what,
yes.
And like if I got like 100 rupees, this would be like at the bottom, but yeah. You know, I think the reward made it a little bit more worth it for me. But I see what you're saying. Okay, let's go over to the next one here, A Monstrous Collection. While I search for it on my Nintendo Switch here, Al, tell us what you thought about this one.
This one's fine, but it felt very compendium-ish, where, I mean, you're taking pictures of monsters for Kilton so that Hudson can create figurines, basically, these like life-size figurines. And, like, the end result is really cool, but it just kind of felt like a compendium chase where he's like, go find this monster, take a picture, and say you already took a picture of it, and maybe you deleted it, and you're like, dang it, I have to go take another picture of this monster. And then also, you want to get a good picture because the exact pose is what becomes a figurine. So if you took a dumb picture...
You should see some of my monsters, they're horrible.
So I was sitting there like, ooh, I got to make sure I get a good pose. Otherwise, it's going to look dumb on my display. And I was very aesthetic with this game. I liked a lot of I did a lot of my fusing and a lot of my pictures aesthetically, my house aesthetically. So it took me a minute. And while it was fun at first, it kind of continued. And I was like, ooh, there's like 5-6 of these little things where he wants you to go get pictures of. So I kind of got a little tired of it. But I liked the premise of it. Kind of like the last one we talked about, where I liked the premise, but it was a little too much.
How many, so I thought I was pretty hot stuff, as I was saying at the beginning here, but I have only completed 51 of 60 side adventures. How many monstrous collections are there? Because I'm on number 3.
There's 5. I want to say there's 5, but I could be wrong, so don't quote me on that.
Okay, because yeah, I have to take a picture of a battle talus right now, and I'm just like,
I think that's like 2. Yeah, 2 or 3.
So yeah, that's, I think, yeah, this one would be pretty low for me too. It's not that fun. I feel like the reward for it is just kind of like,
When I started taking pictures of stuff I wanted on the display rather than what Kilted wanted, I got some cool figurines. So I got Ganondorf on there. I
Did
got his
you?
second form on there. It's
Ooh.
awesome. I've got Kolgara on there. It's really cool. And the King Gliok. So I really like that, where I could do it myself. I didn't really care for him telling me to go get certain things so that I could complete a quest.
Okay, well let's go on to a message from an ancient era. And I was kind of like going back and forth on if I thought that this one was cool or not, 'cause like I feel like I was a bit like frustrated with the side quest, because this is one of the ones where like you see it like very very early in the game, or at least I did. Like so the premise of this is like there's all these like stone things in the sky, right? This is that one. So yeah, so you see them and they're just like, it's an ancient Hyrulean text, you can't read them. So I was like, okay, like I wish I could just like get something for them now so I don't have to come back later. And I started taking pictures of them, but then like eventually along the game, I was just like, oh, I need more camera space, so I deleted them. So by the time I actually like stumbled across this quest, which was pr I probably this is my own fault, but I activated it a little bit later than I'm sure you probably did. I was just like, oh jeez, I gotta go like get all these stupid things again. And I feel like I'd looked at them like a ton of different times over and over again. So I was kind of just a little bit chapped about that. The reward was cool though. Like you do get some insight into Rauru, into Sonya. I mean that was cool.
I appreciate the reward from it too. And I like how some of them they're a specific shape of stone up in the sky. They look like a flower. I love what's his name? The painter, Pokongo, I think his name is. He'll be standing in an area where you can see it, and he's up there. He's like, that's an interesting shape, and he's painting it. So I think that's cute. And I love how sometimes you get up there and you get to take a picture and they start to fall, so you have to dive with it. My first one was the one that falls into the depths too. So it was like a long fall, and I thought that was kind of cool.
That is pretty cool.
He like once you do a couple of them, you're like, oh, I have to remember that when I'm exploring the skies to go over here, take a picture of that, and make sure that I get the translation from our guy. I can't remember his name, Willingston or something.
Hold on here, I'll still. Oh, never mind. I thought I had it, but I don't. Here, his name is Wartsworth. What a name.
Wartsworth, there we go.
Wartsworth. This
I wasn't
guy,
even close.
this poor kid, when he was growing up, he was called Warty all the time.
You know what's funny? When he was translating the first one, I thought his translation sucked, but then I realized that it was like he was reading it as it was written in the ancient Hyrulean, which is like an interesting English. Like some of it is mixed up English words, and then some of it you're like, I have no idea what that means, but you can kind of decipher before he deciphers it for you. And you do learn a little bit more about Sonya and Rauru and Zelda too, because Zelda is the one who had the scribe write these so that there was proof in the sky to help Link on his adventure. So I think it's really cool, but there was a lot of them, and I mean there's only 13, but like there's a fair few, and it
That
was more like
that's
I
a
had to
lot.
remember.
Yeah, like when you have to go like to different points in the sky and like get like 13 on the ground is not the same as 13 in the sky, like because
True. Yeah.
it's so much more difficult getting around in the sky.
True. So yeah, there's quite a bit, and so it got a little tiring, but it was one of those things where they added another collectathon to the game that I enjoyed. So it was okay. It just wasn't like super high tier. This is my favorite side quest of all time.
I would agree with that. The Yiga Clan exam. I like this one. I had like kind of my own special conditions that I did. So when I did this, I was like, okay, this is my self-imposed rules. I can't warp. I have to be wearing the Yiga outfit, and like I'm just gonna go and do it this way. I don't know. I kind of it's like a very simple quest. You just have to throw a couple bananas in these spots. But like there was something about it where I like kind of enjoyed it for some reason. I was like, I gotta prove myself as a real Yiga Blade Master. I was already a Yiga Blade Master at this point, but like, I don't know. It seems like the kind of like menial fetch quest that I wouldn't enjoy, but I think like I just thought like the whole Yiga Clan stuff was like so charming that I was kind of into this one.
I liked this one enough, but not as much as some of the other Yiga stuff, because it really was you just go put bananas in a pedestal or like a little shrine thing, and that's it. And you just kind of proved your worth through the elements that you're walking through. So it was fine in the end, and you get a shrine out of it. You get a couple of things from doing it and being able to pass the Blade Master. But I feel like the other Yiga stuff was much more muchness that I was like, this is just okay compared to what I already did with the Yiga clan. So.
Yeah, I agree. Let's see if I can say this right, because I was struggling at the beginning here to get it. The next one is investigate the Thyflo ruins.
Typhlo
Typhlo?
ruin.
I keep on wanting to say Typhlo too, but there's that tricky H at the beginning there that keeps on
Yeah.
tripping me up.
Typhlo. I'll
Okay, let's
just
just
keep
call him
saying Typhlo.
Typhlo. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is fun. It's like they're very simple, but I think like the aesthetic of the actual like ruins itself is like pretty cool. I don't know. It's like some of them were a little bit spotty. I think like particularly the Gerudo one where you have to use like Riju's powers. That one
Oh
I was
yeah.
like, I feel like this is a little bit of a stretch, but like I don't know. So like most of them I thought were like fun enough to do and like and whatever. So the guy that gives you the quest though was a little bit of a wiener, I thought.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he's a hardcore researcher, man. I
Yeah.
just it's kind of funny how you play this game and you're helping these people and you do all the work for them, especially these research ones where they're like, "I'm gonna write a book because we did or I did all this research." Don't worry, I'll put you in there though that you were a helper. I'm like, I did your work for you, bro.
Yeah. What do you mean? Write my autobiography. Come on.
There's a Gerudo lady that does the same thing later in the side quest. So I was just like, I just thought again, this was kind of like the plateau where it was like there was four things you needed to have all the sages to use their powers in the puzzle, and then I don't remember the result. It wasn't as significant as I thought it was, but I kind of liked the message of it, where Zelda basically paid tribute to the loyal sages. That's that the loyalty was the
Yeah.
point of that. So I like that aspect, but the reward wasn't as good as like doing the plateau stuff, so.
That just reminded me actually. I meant to bring this up. We did get a little bit of pushback from last week's episode on some of my thoughts for Sonya, but I didn't see anybody sticking up for those four sages. We kind of,
Oh
you know,
yeah.
we kind of poo-pooed on them a little bit, and I think rightfully so. This just kind of reminds me of that. Like even I wish that this quest would have been a little bit more like who are these guys?
Who are
Like
them? Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
who are they?
So
Yeah.
it's a little bit too bad. Okay, so this next one I haven't done actually. So Allison, this one's all yours. I thought I was awesome, but apparently not. And by the way, my side quests, this is really humbling. 53 out of 139 finished.
There's so many. Okay, first of all, what is with Nintendo and these really odd numbers? 139? Are you kidding me? Nintendo,
Very,
you can
very
give us
weird.
one more side quest to make it an even 140.
I will
Come
say,
on, they
I think a
do.
lot of my side quests left are like the outfit side quests where like you got to go and find like the
Oh,
phantom
yeah.
armor or the whatever, because like my armor sets are a little bit lacking right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, there's quite a bit of those. I really liked that. What's his name? What's his name? He's the one who hides all the armor. Mikau
Oh,
or
I don't know.
something like
Yeah,
that.
Mikau, yeah.
I think that's his name. And he's a bandit and he's hiding. He's like I love talking to people around Hyrule and they're like, the greatest fashion icon, Mikau.
Yeah.
He's hiding all the outfits. I gotta go find it.
Oh,
I hope
it's
that's his name.
Misko. I'm sorry. It's
Misko, thank you.
Misko.
Mikau is the Zora
Mikau
from.
is in Majora's Mask, who
Yes,
we may or may
exactly.
not talk about later in the Zelda Cast Top 10s available on patreon.com/SVNet.
Hey, I almost put that one on there. That's funny. Anyways, so anyway, where what were we talking about? Oh, the next
Bring
side
peace to
adventure.
Hyrule.
Yes. So that's what I was calling the collection of bring peace to whatever region that the monster control crew is. They're going to fight some different hordes and you join them. And while I thought this was like cool because you get to join in with Hyrule as they bring peace and like, safety to the land. You get to fight alongside some Hylians and some Gorons and some, you know, basically everybody who lives in Hyrule. And I thought that was really cool. It's just that there were, again, there was a lot of them, and so I thought it was fine. I think the reward is cool. You get pretty cool fabric for doing all of them. But at the end of the day, I just felt like I was doing all their jobs for them. And but I just thought it was neat because in Breath of the Wild, everybody's just kind of living their life in a post-apocalyptic world. They're not really, like, doing anything to... They're just trying to survive, basically. And in Tears of the Kingdom, you can see them fighting back, and I think that's really cool. So I liked this. I just, at the same time, I was like, I did this for you, you know, because I'm the hero. So that was my only really gripe about it, but that didn't make it fantastic. You know what I mean?
I get you. Okay, but let's move on to a quest that I think most people, when they're thinking about side adventures in Tears of the Kingdom, I think they probably think of this guy. And that is pretty much all of the Pen and Lucky Clover related side quests here. And there's 12 of them. I guess 13 if you want to count the like overarching quest where you get the armor. But yeah, I think like in terms of the actual like individual quests, they're not too much. Like they're pretty small and bite sized. I think my favorites were like Zelda's Golden Horse was really fun. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Oh, the Kuko one I thought was fantastic. I think that was fun. Let's see. And I thought an eerie voice was funny. A blocked well was good. So there's like a lot of like charming little quests. Like other than like the Golden Horse and like the Kuko one, none of them really stick out to me. But it was kind of nice just to have like one overarching like side quest or side adventure that you could do at like multiple stages of the game. And I think that Pen was like, he's pretty much like your Cass replacement in this game.
Yes,
right?
He
like,
is. Yeah.
And I think that I mean, I liked him way better than Cass. I have to admit.
okay.
By the way, I wonder where our boy is in this game.
Who knows? I mean, Pen mentions him at the end of the when you're finished your adventure with him, he goes to where Cass used to study as a bard. So Pen got there and he was like, I want to study here because this is where the great bard studied. And I was like, oh, yay, that's kind of sweet that he wants to follow in Cass's footsteps. But like, where the heck is Cass? Why?
Yeah.
His children are still in, you know, in the village, but he's gone.
Maybe he's coming back in that DLC. We'll have to see. I thought like without going too in depth into like all of, you know, the individual quests, I don't know, there is almost something comforting about like at least there's something to do at almost every stable that I visit and like there's at least a little something. So this was like a little bit welcome, I thought. And you get a cool reward at the end, even though it doesn't make you completely impervious to slipping. Helps.
It does help. I think that was a fun like quality of life change was the anti-slip armor and the anti-slip like food item elixirs, whatever, that you could create to help you climb in rain, because that was a hassle. But I really like Pen. I thought he was charming. He was trying really hard. He was a little rookie reporter and he was trying really hard to do his job, and he did great. And he does give you credit at the end. He kind of makes a joke where he's like, yeah, I was fantastic. Oh, who am I kidding? You did all the work. And I was like, thanks.
Finally.
I did.
Finally, someone admits the truth.
But we were good partners because he got the information for me and then I went and figured out the mystery. So I feel like we had a good partnership. I think my favorite ones were the ones where you can kind of see what Zelda was doing for Hyrule and for every individual person. Like, she took the tools to help the flower lady. And I love the stable guy who was like, she kind of took my tools and I feel bad for saying this, but like, she stole my tools. Like,
yeah.
I just thought that was really cute. And then to help the flower lady make a beautiful garden for Hyrule, I thought that was cool. Or, when Zelda told the guy at the stable to block the well because there was monsters down there, and she said, I'll be back to help figure this out, but she winds up disappearing. So I like those ones where you can kind of, like, get the details of what Zelda was doing for Hyrule and for the individual Hylian or Hyrulean, what have you, and it gave you a little bit more insight to what she was doing in the time between the Calamity and now.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I will say... you know, I wanted to mention about the flower lady. It's funny that you brought that up. That one was another one to me where I was like, I don't know why, because it's a fun little reference to a fun little thing in Breath of the Wild. But that one I didn't really love, because I was just like, okay, like this is too much of like, too much of the same, like too on the nose or something like that. So actually that one wasn't one of my favorite ones, but
Okay.
in general, yes, I think what you're saying is all right. Okay, so I kind of want to jump around a little bit here, because I want to
Okay, yeah.
talk about some of
This
my
isn't
other
in any
ones.
particular order,
Yeah.
so go for it.
So the hunt for the bubble gems, I can't say that like I was like super into this one, and in fact I will say that these poor blokes, Kilton and whatever the other guy's name is,
Colton.
they could fit right in on our top 10 ugliest Twilight Princess character lists. They could. I mean, I'm so, and
They
it's
could.
not it's and it's not their looks, but it's like every time you talk to them, they're just like, "Ee!" And they like have this like just like insane squeal, and it's like, oh, this sounds so awful. Like,
They
good
are a couple
lord.
of Fruit Loops. Yeah, I agree. I agree. They're definitely weird, but I actually really love the whole overarching sequence with the bubble gems and with Colton. And I know you're not done, so I don't want to spoil you, but I think that the armor set that you get along the way is
Oh, I
cool.
have
The
the armor set. Yeah.
Hat, the top piece is what I like the most. You get this really cool this like wig with the kind of the Satori horns, and I think it's really cool. I love what the armor set does for you, where you can replace rupees instead of your hearts when you get attacked, and so I think that's cool. And then I really like the end result of, and you finish the quest beforehand because you just give them a couple bubbles and they're like, okay, complete. But you can still do all of the caves and get all of the bubble gems and help Colton realize his dream. And I just really like the end sequence, and I like the reward. I use the reward ever since I got it. So, and it's what I've been using. So
Right.
I don't want to spoil it for you.
Okay. I will say this. It almost feels to me like this guy is like the stand-in for Tingle. Like almost, right? Where like
Oh,
he's
okay.
this weird, creepy little character that nobody likes, and like he wants to turn into something else, and like I guess part of me
I
is just
get it.
like, give me Tingle, man. Give me
Knock off
Tingle.
Tingle. I get
Yeah.
it. I get it.
Where's my
Yeah.
boy? Like why can Beedle get in this game, but we can't have Tingle? Too bad.
I hear what you're saying. Beetle is a pain, by the way. He's like he
Beetle
everybody kind of
sucks.
Everybody's like, oh yay, Beetle. And then when you consider like how he actually is, just very passive aggressive in like every game that he's in, it's just like, ugh, I'm not really a big fan of Beetle as a person.
Yeah, I think this version of Beetle in this game is probably the worst version of Beetle, actually.
Yeah, if you don't
Well,
give him a beetle, he's like he wants to hire thieves and assassins to get
yeah.
your beetles. It's weird.
He's no good. Okay, the Stable Trotters. This one was all right, I thought. I don't know if this one would have
The
been in
whole
my like,
thing?
eh. I think so, yeah.
Aw, okay.
I like because I kind of thought like this is essentially an extension of what we were or what I was complaining about earlier, where it's like get object A from point A to point B. Because I feel like you've got to do that like a couple different ways. And granted, like again, it's not like you have to go super far. I think it might have. This one would have probably been better for me if it was actually a little bit less involved. If it was just like you see the stable and there aren't players missing and they're just ready and it's just like, okay, just get us from here to here. Like the bridge is gone. Like just make us get us to the ferry. And I thought that like the idea that all the band players or the stable members are missing was fine, but then it was just kind of like a bunch of like fetch quests that you got to do to like get, like you got to give them honey, you got to give them whatever. So this one I thought was like kind of only okay, actually.
I think that's fair because it is a fetch quest, like a few fetch quests thrown into one, but I feel like it has more character because you're dealing with characters versus like items. So you go to get each of the band players, and some of them are meh, okay, like giving the guy a B or getting the guy out of the hole. But I really like the flautist. I thought his was very cute. He was trying to make a glowing tree for a girl, accidentally set the field on fire. And I thought that was really cute. I
Okay,
thought
that was
he
pretty
was
good.
adorable. And I can't remember his name's Piper, I think. And I just thought Piper was adorable. I love the sound of his little flute. And then you get them all together, you take them to the ferry, and I love how the music for the ferry evolves as you complete your little band. And then afterwards, they just are at every stable playing some beautiful, you know, Lon Lon Ranch music. And I thought it was very cute. So I really enjoyed it. It was a fetch quest, but I thought it had more charm and character to it.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't disagree with any of that. All right, well let's go on and let's talk about the Lurelin Village Restoration Project. So this is just the restoration, by the way, not the actual like retaking of Lurelin, which I think is like one of the best side quests in the game.
Okay, I kind of felt like it was the same as the hordes where you go and fight all the monsters and
It is, but I don't know. I think I mentioned it on like one of the very first episodes that we did where we talk about like the differences between Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom. And to me, it was just like thank God, like something different is happening at this town where like it's different, you know, and not just like the same. And so I appreciated that. Restoration Project I thought was fine. It's like it's a little bit of the same thing over and over again, like putting the palm trees through like the little holes. But yeah, I thought it was fine. It's like it's pretty fun, and it. You know what the thing about this one is like you don't get a good reward from the end of this, like I don't think at all. But you do feel like accomplished because you see the progress that you've made with this town. So I think that in and of itself is almost the reward. And then you do get the sweet like hoverboat racetrack, which is cool.
Yeah, that's fun. I think this was the Tarrytown of Tears of the Kingdom because you helped Caladsim build Tarrytown, but then you helped Bolsen rebuild Lurelin, and I thought it was really sweet. I was really excited to see Bolsen again. I just love that he was chilling and he's like, "I came here for vacation and it was overrun by monsters," and then you help, get rid of the monsters, and he's like, "I'll help you rebuild this village," and I thought that was really sweet. I adore Bolsen. I wish he kind of remembered you more. It was kind of
I
odd when I
know.
found him, and I was like, "How do you not remember me?" Like, he did, but not to the extent that I wanted him to.
No. I would say
And
that like consistently almost throughout this whole game too.
there's
Not
some characters.
everybody, but like a lot of people are just like, "Oh, you look familiar." It's like, "Dude, we did this ginormous side quest together last game. Don't you remember that?"
I love some of the continuations of side quests where you help characters in Breath of the Wild and then you find them again in Tears and they have something else they need help with. I love that aspect. But yeah, I feel like Bolsen was such a big side quest with the Link's house in Hateno that I don't know why he just doesn't recognize Link as much as I would have hoped. But he's still a fantastic character. I love helping him rebuild Lurelin. I love his drive. And then he was like, the only reward I needed was like to make these people happy. I just think he's such a wholesome, fantastic character. I love him. So I had a blast working with him, and then also the continuation where you make the boat race and et cetera. So I thought it was fun. It was the Tarrytown of Tears of the Kingdom.
Madison's Independence is next. I like this one, but I don't know if I would say it was in my like top five, but it was fun. Particularly getting some revenge against that jerk at the lift system in Tarrytown. I paid that guy actually because I was like, whatever,
I did
just let
too.
me go, man. So it was kind of fun. I did have a little bit of a snafu getting Madison on there the first time. I thought that I had the way blocked, but I didn't. But I don't know. This one was fun, but I was I don't know. I thought that there might be a little bit more to it. You like you do the quiz as well, which it's fine. But I don't know. Like, is there anything I'm missing on this one? Because that's really what I remember is just getting her on the rail car, getting her like doing that quiz with her. It didn't stick out to me. I don't think a whole lot more than that.
I think it's for me, it wasn't so much what you did as like just spending time with her because that's what Hudson wanted. He was just, "I'm busy and I'm her dad, but she's going on this great adventure and it's like Gerudo custom what she's doing and I'm proud of her and I'm happy for her, but I'm her dad and I'm gonna miss her and I just wish somebody would spend some time with her." And so I feel like Link kind of takes on this role as her bigger brother and just like kind of helps her do these things around town and also helps her help her mom and dad. She wanted to do something to help her dad not feel so sad, to help her mom, you
It
know.
is very cute.
It's extremely sweet. And then at the end, you all ride in a hot balloon together that he built just for her with her colors. And I just thought, I was like, oh, we're like a little family, and I'm Big Brother Link helping my little sister Madison. And I just thought it was so sweet. And then you get to see her later in Gerudo Town. And she's like, oh, yeah, you helped me. And I was like, I know. It was so cute. So yeah. I thought, like, the story aspect of it was more than what I had to do to get the story aspect of it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's a very cute story, and Hudson is very cute. And I'm sure this probably hit for, like, a lot of Zelda fans with maybe their own kids and just kind of, you know, parlaying those emotions into that. But, so yeah, I think the actual quest itself was kind of like, it was okay. You're right, though. It is very cute. As you were kind of recapping that, I can't stop smiling. Like, you're right. It's a higher quest for sure. Okay, let's talk about the mayoral election. And this is like a huge side quest, maybe one of the biggest in the game. Actually, it's fairly all encompassing, and it's for the heart of Hateno, the new Hateno versus the old Hateno. And there's like there's a bunch of different side quests. You have to go and see what Reed's secret is, what CeCe's secret is. You have to go and bribe people all around Hateno with mushroom hats or with what, I don't even remember what else he gives, like cheese or something like that. Yeah, it's a fun quest, and I think that the end result, it's like kind of cheesy, but it's still pretty fun, where like they both kind of long for you know,
what each other can bring.
Yeah, exactly. But they're too stubborn to admit it. So yeah, this one was a fun quest. I did hear a couple of our pals over on the Hyrule Compendium say that it was like a top, like, Zelda quest. I don't know if I could say it, like, it's like a top, like, side quest in the Zelda series, but, like, it's really fun, and there is, like, a bunch of different aspects to it. And I think I mentioned this before when we talked about Hateno in our episode a few weeks back, but at least in my own headcanon, there is something very meta that I appreciate about this, where it's just, like, you know, old Zelda versus new Zelda. You have the people that like traditional dungeons, linearity. You have the people that love this open world and mushroom hats and stuff like that. So, like, it's it works on, like, a lot of different levels, I feel like.
Yes, I can agree with that. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think in order to make it, like, a top-tier Zelda side quest, it would have had to be longer and involve more characters. Because if you consider Anju and Cafe, like, it's not just them. You are helping, like, so many people related to them. And it spans 3 days. And I know time to me doesn't feel real in Tears of the Kingdom, Breath of the Wild. Either it's day or night, you know? So it's not the same agency or urgency is what I mean. Urgency when you have only 3 days to get certain things done and a time frame to get certain things done. Mm-hmm. But there is stuff involved where you kind of get to know these characters. I personally, like, would have been siding with Reed, because I think that agriculture is really important to Hyrule, and so not fashion, but I appreciated what CeCe also had to bring, which was, you know, getting more tourists there so that they can continue to make money for their agriculture in Hyrule. So, like, I appreciated both sides, and I appreciated that they each, like CeCe liked the older way, and then Reed was like, I secretly look up to CeCe, and so I thought it was kind of cute that they, like you said, they were just too stubborn to admit it. There was a hot second there where I thought Reed was cheating on his wife, but and then I remembered that this is Nintendo.
Can you imagine that side quest? That would be a top 10 Zelda side quest. Gotta take some salacious, like, pictures.
So I just thought it was, like, overall really fun to kind of, like, help these people. And then you get to the election and they decide to, you know, work together. And there's even a side quest that comes after where Reed is doing the pumpkins and he's like, I need to go get CeCe's approval on this. So I was like, aw, that's great, you know? So this was definitely, like, a top tier for Tears of the Kingdom for sure. I love this. Definitely this was very involved.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely for Tears of the Kingdom, it's a top tier side adventure. So yeah, I know that you left out a side adventure actually in our list, and probably because it's not that fun. A deal with the statue / who goes there.
Oh,
this is the same. Like, you got to find the cursed goddess statue who takes away your stuff, and you can exchange stamina for hearts if you really want to. I will say. So I didn't think that this was very fun. But the Royal Hidden Passageway, where the statue actually is, is huge.
It's cool, yeah.
Like I went down there and found the statue, and I was like, okay, whatever, I can go back. And then a little bit later in the game, I was like, oh, that's weird. My cave isn't checked off. I'm pretty sure I got the bubble guy down there. So I went back and I was just like, oh my God, this keeps going and going and going and going. And like, so that I will say was a pretty cool cave to explore. I wasn't expecting it to be like as huge as it was.
I would say, like, I came back and explored it quite a few times just because there's
Yeah.
more to it than what I initially saw. I was like, oh, there's rocks. So I missed these the first time. Or I didn't think I could get through the black rocks, but turns out you just need materials to do it instead of bombs or Yanobo. So I was just like, oh, there's so much more to explore. I love that it goes straight to the castle. So that gives it some, like, story implications. Like, maybe the royals had to escape one day or whatever, or maybe they didn't. They
Yeah.
just created this just in case. But yeah, that was super cool. That was, we're not even talking about the side adventure though. Like, there was a different part of that that was cool, but the side adventure itself was the same as what happened in Breath of the Wild, so
Yeah.
I didn't put it on the list.
Well, I mean, the side adventure itself kind of stinks, but the location where it is pretty fun.
I will say though, like, the story implications of why he's there was kind of funny. Like, that the goddess was like, I'm really sick of your crap. I'm going to put you in a pond, and then took him out of the pond and put him in put him in this cave. So I
He's
thought
just
that was
on his
funny.
same old BS no matter where he is in Hyrule. Okay, let's talk about infiltrating the Yiga clan. I love this. I thought
Oh
this was
God, so
so
good.
charming. So first of all, this was actually my last shrine that I had to do was the Yiga clan one, where you get all the different pieces of the armor and stuff like that. And like once you're inside the Yiga clan, I feel like there's not like a ton to do. Like you're in there and you can buy the vehicles if you want to. I can't even remember what else you do. Like there's the shrine,
You learn
obviously.
the secret technique of the Blade
That
Masters?
yes, you're right. The secret
Yeah.
technique. I have to admit, I haven't really used it all that
I
much,
only ever
really at
use it
all.
when one of my items breaks, but I'm still spamming B, so I'm like,
Yeah,
oh shoot.
yeah. Yeah, it was just kind of fun. It's like a couple quick hits where like you got to take out some Yiga Clan members and more Yiga Clan members in a minute's time. Easy enough to do, but there's something about like just seeing the inner workings of the Yiga Clan, like kind of how like goofy and like incompetent, but at the same time like prepared they are for everything
Yeah.
is just like very charming. Like when the guy's just like, "Hey, you better cut that ponytail. You look like that Link character that we hate." It's just like, yes, this is awesome. And I wonder, did you ever do this? Did you ever take off your Yiga like mask while you were in there?
I didn't,
I wonder what
but
would
that sounds
happen.
funny. Yeah. I just it's so much the Yiga clan is so much more involved and I love it, and I just think it's so poetic that they disguise themselves to trick Link, and so you disguise yourself to join their ranks and trick them. I think it's hilarious.
It's great.
I love seeing like when you get the Yiga armor that they were stealing CC's like fans, people that wanted to work with CC, and they were creating the armor for the Yiga. I thought that was hilarious. Also, like, not just with the infiltrate in the Yiga clan, but learning more about them in the depths too. I read all their journals, and they gave me a lot of tips for exploring the depths, and they like had a lot of insight. And so I just thought it's just hilarious that they seem very competent. They're just not like battle competent. Like, you, they're not great, but they're like very resourceful and very they can infiltrate anywhere they are. They have great disguise capabilities. They just kind of suck at fighting.
Yeah. Well, you're not wrong. Like they like you just cream those poor Yiga Clan guys that they're and they're like, "Wow, you're this great blade master." And another thing that I do like about this side adventure is that you consistently get like good rewards for doing it. Like you get the shrine, which is great. You get the thunder helm, which is great. You get, or is it the lightning helm? I can't remember what it is.
It's one or the other. It's different from Breath of the Wild. That's
Yeah.
all I know.
And then you get like the fighting technique. So it's like this is like for an easier kind of side adventure, you get a lot from it, and it has a lot of really good personality and a lot of charm. So obviously, as you can tell, I'm a big fan of all the Yiga Clan stuff. So it's probably no surprise to a lot of our listeners here that my favorite side adventure in this game is Master Koga of the Yiga Clan. And first of all, what a redemption arc for Master Koga, because I couldn't stand this guy. I thought he sucked in Breath of the Wild. I thought he was kind of like, I don't know if I'd say he sucked in Age of Calamity, but I was like, what are you doing with this character? Is this guy kind of like a good guy? Is he a bad guy? Is he?
He serves his own purpose. That's what he does.
this one, he's just like this total like. It's funny because like he's even goofier, but he feels more menacing at the same time as well. Because like you find him, first of all, any quest that takes me to the depths, I think is awesome. This one is one that like. Like, there's a lot of different things that make it really, really stand out, I think. First of all, you get to... It's one of those quests that, like, forces you to explore the map. And not in, like, kind of a lame way where, like, you gotta go collect, like, whatever. But, you know, you gotta explore, like, big sections, important sections, too, of the map. And you get rewarded in the sense that, like, you get all of these different... What's the actual name? Like, mines, I guess, where you can harness your Zonite. You can do all that kind of stuff. So, like... You know, like, I'm sure you could have, like, 26 batteries, Al. Like, eventually, like, you buy all that they have, and they're just like, I wish I had more Zonite. So, like, you could go around, and you could get the different things of Zonite from the different mines that you're at. So it gets you exploring, it's a cool reward, and you get these really fun boss fights out of this. And just Koga's such a goof that, like, I don't know, I love it. And I never would have thought that he would have been my favorite side adventure, because I was, like... turned off by him in Breath of the Wild just because he was such a goof. I didn't like him at all.
I think the evolution of the Yiga also came with Koga too. Like, he evolved as well into Tears of the Kingdom, and I think it's great. Like, he's still just the goofy dumb guy that somehow was able to create a cult, and it's fantastic. And like, and he has a lot of followers, because again, I read all those journals and they're like, glory to Master Koga.
It's awesome. They love that guy.
I know, even though like he uses them
to his own advantage. He's the worst. He's never won a single fight. He's like, he's got these bad moves. Like, he's terrible.
It's dark down here. That's why I lost. Oh my god, he's hilarious. I wish that we had more with him, with his voice actor from Age of Calamity, because if he's saying those lines, like, as himself, God, so good. But, and I love how the end of him in Tears of the Kingdom is the opposite of the end of him in Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild took him down to the depths. Tears of the Kingdom took him back up to the surface. Who knows what he's going to do next? And I just love him, and so it was comedic, it was fun, I loved chasing him around the depths, it was great. Yeah. I think it was fantastic.
Yeah, this was my favorite side adventure from the game, actually. It was goofy, it was fun, it checked almost every single box that I wanted checked. The only thing I would say is that I could have actually used more Master Koga at the end of the game. We talked about this when we talked about the bosses. I kind of thought, like, maybe he would show up at the end right before you fight Ganondorf. But I guess that's a good thing, because I'm left, like, wanting more. Like, I'm thinking to myself, like, what would the dynamic between Koga and Ganondorf have been? Like where does God. The Yiga clan fit in with his minions?
Ganondorf
and stuff?
Does not care. Well, I don't think first of all, he doesn't even know who they are.
No, I'm sure he doesn't.
But I love how they're operating. They're like, yeah, Ganondorf would have wanted this. And it's just like, I don't think he actually knows who you guys are. So,
yeah. it's fun. It's fun to think about. And, well, I hope that they don't do, like, another open world game with this map, obviously.
Yeah, I would not be okay with that.
I would be cool to see Master Koga resurface one day in the Zelda series. I think that you can still do a little bit with him.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Or have the Yiga clan come back up. Because if it's an alter ego to the Sheikah, like, we've had the Sheikah pop up in Zelda games, why can't we have the Yiga return?
Yeah.
And have, like, a Master Koga, you know, of that time, or of that game, or of that series, whatever have you. I think that would be awesome.
I think it would be, too. So, there we go. Well, there we go. That's all the side adventures that we have in this game. Looks like I still have some work to do here, Al. I got to put my working boots on and get the rest of my side adventures and the rest. God, I got a lot of side quests left. I got a lot of side quests left.
I was thinking, when we were talking about the stables, I think you may also have the side quest where you have to take pictures for each stable, and that's at least 13 side quests. So
Oh,
Some
God.
of them are fun though, because they give you specifics and it's like, ooh, okay. It's like they give you like parameters to take your pictures, and I think that makes it a little challenging. So.
Okay. I'm think I'm gonna save my Tears of the Kingdom. I was almost thinking, because I did so much of it so quick, and I mean, obviously I didn't do as much as you, but I was like, you know what? Maybe I could wait till like the first batch of DLC comes out, and then like then do some quests, and then come back to it a little bit, because we did a lot of Tears of the Kingdom, probably more and faster than maybe your average Joe for our show. So I was like, I could use a little bit of a break.
Makes sense.
So yeah, there we go. Okay, well, we would love to know what your favorite side adventures, not side quests, side adventures from Tears of the Kingdom were. Let us know over on Discord. Let us know over on Twitter while you still can, for I don't know, for as long as you can. We'll see if it's even there
Hopefully,
tomorrow.
we're one of your 600 tweets.
Imagine being such an idiot that you just light $40 billion on fire. I can't imagine that. Anyways, so yeah, let us know over on Twitter at the ZeldaCast. We are at Spiteri316 and at Allison Aletha. Check us out over on Discord. That's probably the safest way to interact with us. And then also don't forget to get your questions in for our live in-person episode, which is coming in literally 2 weeks. So check that out and get your questions in, and we will try to answer everything that we get. The ZeldaCast is on Patreon, patreon.com/spnet. There is a ZeldaCast tier that you can sign up to. You are going to get one bonus episode per month, the ZeldaCast Top 10s. So we are going to hit that record button as soon as we're done with this episode, and you can check out what we're talking about over on patreon.com/spnet. We're going to get out of here. You know where to check us out, wherever you get your podcast. Like, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review. That would be great. Recommend us to that Zelda fan in your life. And that's it. We are going to jam out of here. But until next week, everybody, take care.
Bye.